I'm Anita Lustria, and this is Faith Conversations. Today on the podcast, Brenda Garrison joins me, and Brenda and I go back, way back actually. Brenda, you and I met at a Hearts at Home conference for the first time, didn't we?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm actually going to have you tell about yourself. Sometimes I give the bio and kind of tell about folks, but you are, I think, an interesting woman, and a woman I remember when I had you on Midday Connection with me a few years ago talking about your book, Love No Matter What. And while that's not the focus of our conversation today, I want to recommend that to folks, and you can find it at anitalustria.com. It'll be there on my homepage, and I'll have links to Brenda's website there as well. But tell us about yourself, and then we'll get into the conversation in a couple of minutes.
Well, I have become one of those people that you might want to run from because I now have a one-year-old grandson. So talk about him as long as you will listen and then bring up like 1,000 pictures on my phone for you to see from birth to one-year-old.
So I should not get in a seat next to you on an airplane where I'm captive for 2 hours.
No. Yeah, well, maybe I won't do it that bad, but he is truly a delight and just lights up our life like we could never have imagined.
Mm. And people say that, but we don't know until it happens, right?
You know what? That's what I tell people, because you just, when I walked into the room after my daughter had given birth, and you're like, my son-in-law was holding this little bundle that I could barely see because he's a giant of a man, and he's just holding this tiny bundle, and my daughter's over there looking a little washed out, and there's this little thing in his arms, and I'm like, where do I go? To my daughter or to the grandson, you know? And you are just, oh my word, you just want to become his favorite person, and I've tried really hard to do that.
Now you know. Now you fully understand why grandparents do all the good stuff and give them all the good food and candy and then send them home. It's like, yeah, it's all to become the favorite. I don't care what happens when he goes back with mom and dad. I don't care about the sugar high I just sent him back on or whatever.
Exactly. Our ritual after nap time is take off his shirt, put him in the high chair, and cut up a half of an ice cream sandwich, and he just lights up. It's like, all of this for me? And so
wow, Brenda, I would light up too if you pulled me up to the table and did that. Oh, that's great. I love it. But you're more than just a grandma, which is a fantastic credential, I'll say.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and we have two other girls. Our oldest, Katie, who also contributed to Love No Matter What, just finished her master's in the spring and is teaching at a college in Indiana. So she was, of course, married last year. Our youngest was married last year. And we are truly empty nesters. I write, I blog, I have a new little video that we'll talk about. And I just love ministering to women, whether it be in groups or one-on-one. I just love making that heart connection with women and helping them see how much God loves them and the things that he has for them, and just helping them to know the joy and the purpose that God has put them on earth for.
Well, I love that. I have a similar passion. I've expanded beyond women, and I know you do too. Whenever you talk on radio or podcast, obviously, we have men listening as well. But I'm going to come back to one thing you said in just a moment. So here's where I take my commercial break. This is a largely commercial-free podcast, except people know that I've been talking about sponsorship for the podcast and ways to contribute. And I want to let folks know I'm working to have a 501c3 status where your gifts can be tax deductible. I'm not there yet. You are welcome to send in a gift. I just want you to know it's not quite yet tax deductible, but it will be down the road fairly soon, I am hoping, working toward that. But a number of you have asked how you can support what I'm doing here at Faith Conversations, and I'm deeply grateful for those who've responded. I'm just going to toss out the mailing address for Faith Conversations real quickly here. So you can send a gift to Anita Lustria at Faith Conversations, and the address is 905 South Ardmore Avenue, Ardmore Avenue. That is in the beautiful Villa Park, two words, V as in Victor, Villa Park, Illinois, 60181. Again, the zip, 60181. So there you go, my one and only commercial. Oops, I lied. One other little commercial. You help me so much every time you share the status from my Facebook page about the podcast releasing each Monday. Whenever you share that on your Facebook page or whatever social media platforms you happen to have, because I don't spend anything on marketing. I market it solely through Facebook and Twitter. So anytime you share that or retweet that, it's a super huge help. So thank you. That's as lovely as a donation. It's terrific. So if you think to do that, I would greatly appreciate it. All right, back to Brenda Garrison, my guest today. So grateful to have her and to have her wisdom here on the podcast. You can find her at brendagarrison.com. And again, I'll link all things on my homepage so you can find her book, all that kind of stuff. But I wanted to go back briefly before we get into the heart of the matter today, Brenda. And you mentioned that you and your husband are 100% empty nesters now. And that status looks different for everyone. I want to know how you are finding this season of life.
Oh, my word. That could be a topic in itself.
Yes, it could.
You know, and I have talked to my friends, women my age, and it seems like, you know, when our kids were home, we had a schedule. You know, you went to school, they came home, they might have had an activity, but pretty much, you know, Gina and I were in charge, and they had a bedtime and homework time, and life was busy, but it flowed like that. Here in this season, we never know what is going to happen almost from day to day. I said we sometimes feel like a bed and breakfast with our kids, because one set will come in and then they'll leave, and another set, and like I said, with Kelsey and her little family coming over, or we'll have friends, we have small group. You know, it's just, it's never the same thing almost every day. And Gene retired, and then he went back to work, and then he started a home renovation business. So he stays busy and active and loves it. I stay busy writing. And like I said, just, I think I would put it in a word, would be relationships.
Yes.
Whether it be friends, mentoring, family, it is, my life is really about relationships.
Well, let me ask this, and I know you speak to groups as well, and again, folks can find out more about that at your website. But relationally, sometimes when kids leave home and you're an empty nester, I hear about this a lot. Couples turn and look at each other and go, who are you? Because so much has been invested in the kids. It sounds to me like you and Gene are navigating this well.
Well, I got to tell you, and he would say the same thing if he were on the interview with you, although he wouldn't, because he would never do an interview.
But yeah.
If the three of us, or you and your husband, I and Gene, were having coffee, he would tell you, when he first retired, those first 4 months were the hardest of our marriage. And then he realized, I have to have purpose in my day.
Yes.
And then the opportunity came for him to go back to work, and then his home renovation business took off, and it's just been flowing along very smoothly. So that was hard. But now that both of us have our lives going, we do. It's you know, we can be a little more spontaneous with, well, our thing is, why not go? Why not? What else do we have to do is, you know, sit at home and watch TV, or go do with the kids, or go with friends, or whatever. And we've just tried to keep the same, you know, we've always had talk time. I learned this from Susan Alexander Yates at a Hearts at Home conference about a million years ago, that she and her husband had this little talk time when he got home from work. Kids were allowed in the room, but they weren't allowed to speak. And they had a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever. And during the time of the course of drinking that cup of coffee, they kind of unpacked their day. And was that the only time in the day they talked? No, but that made a connection, and then they could go on and be parents for the evening, and then, you know, reconnect after the kiddos went to bed. But we've always done that, and we kind of always have just kept doing that. When he comes home, we talk, we have coffee, and then we both go about back to what we were doing. So
that's a great rhythm, I think. I'm 100% with you on that. My husband and I do something similar.
It's keeping that conversation going. I think that's really important.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, I had to ask that question. That's one that comes up a lot. But now let's launch into really what you're here to talk about today, which has to do with something like a new experience, a way that God is speaking into your life these days. And I want to hear about it.
Yeah, this past winter, late spring, whatever, maybe two or three times, and I'm big on writing things down. I have got so many notebooks and journals and whatever. So whatever I had one handy, but I felt God just like giving me this image of my first 30 seconds in heaven. What would that be like? And I just felt like all of a sudden it became very clear to me the basic things he was trying to teach me, trying to get me to grab onto, if you will, while I was living my life. But I refused to grab onto them. And then not only that, but then the image of a feeling of, these are so obvious. You know, it wasn't like something that you could, you know, they're so obvious. Of course, he's been telling them to me over and over my whole life. And then I thought, wow, my life would have been so much different if I would have grabbed onto them and really lived them and really believed them. Hmm. And so I wrote them down and they were all scriptural and they were all like, wow, I need to work on this.
Well,
I need to trust God.
Well, and how did these come to you? Were you just in a dream? I can't remember. What did you say?
I think when you just kind of let your mind kind of just like not always have to think. I know women are always thinking, but when you just like give it a space to work, God speaks. And I remember it was one evening and I had my journal. I wrote a few things down. But one time I remember in particular, I was driving up to Chicago to visit one of my daughters. And again, just letting your mind kind of just like go and let God speak to you. Yeah. And again, the same picture of my first 30 seconds in heaven. So I grabbed my notepad I keep in my purse, and I know this is one of the safest thing, but I was writing and while I was driving, and then I, you know, recopied them when I got to a place where I could do that. But just, you know, just letting the Lord speak to me and really feel like Him saying, you know, these are truth. And you need to be living them, and you need to know them, because my life would be richer and more peaceful and more joyful. And all of those things I could be sharing with the people in my life if I would just like exhale and trust God for these things. Hmm.
I like that. Exhale and trust God for these things. That's pretty much all of life, but we don't always do it well or don't realize that we're not doing that. So let's launch in. I'd love for you to talk us through these, or at least some of these. I think you have this information at your website. Is that true?
Yes. If they go to my homepage at brendagarrison.com, and then the just like it's right there. Maybe just have to scroll up just a little. Is the video, and they can watch that. And then if they want, I have a resource where they can see all of the scripture references,
great,
all the points, and all the scripture references, and then go to the resource page, and then it's the first resource, go to handouts, and then it's the first resource on the handout.
Well, and then they can kind of do their own study on it if they want to dig a little deeper and sit with some of these scriptural stories, sit with some of these points, and just talk to God about it, or however they might want to do that.
I would love for them to do that.
Yes. And I'll build in redundancies. I'll put the links and everything on my page as well if they forget to find it on yours. So that'll be great. All right. So where do we go first?
Well, I think just starting with the first one is something that I forget is God just, you know, I have you. Mm. I have you. And, you know, it's just like, you know, when I say that, it feels like kindergarten talk. But do we really believe that? Do we really believe that God has control of our lives, our kids' lives, even when our kids are making decisions we don't agree with, that God has us and He has us in process. And as I was preparing yesterday, looking over my notes and whatnot, and going back over the scriptures that I've referenced, God took me, He just really lit up in Deuteronomy 31, 7 through 8. It says, God is telling the Hebrews, I will not fail you. I will not abandon you. And I felt like I was saying, you know, this is your punctuation for your prayer. Mm. When you pray, you know, we all believe God can answer our prayer. We believe that. We believe He is mighty above all and that He can answer our prayer. But I think our question mark is will or how will.
Or when will. Oh, yeah. Or how will. Right. Yeah.
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 And this reassured me, God will not fail me. He will not abandon me. God will not fail my family. He will not abandon my family. This is a punctuation for my prayer. I can end my prayer knowing that God has us and He is working, which is the second point, but He has us and He is not going to just turn His head and let things fall apart. No matter what things look like now, He has control and He is in control and He is working in our lives.
And I think I'll add to that just by way of personal experience, having experienced job loss this past year, mm-hmm. That sometimes we need to be reminded of this, you know, to hear for someone like me or someone that's, you know, listening to the podcast that's just had a horrible diagnosis or a loved one has been in a bad accident. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we need to know, because because reality, what we're currently experiencing, does not look like God has us. And so to know that that is a truth, and then to look at it in the lives of others in Scripture, where things have looked similarly, maybe a little bit different story, but where we see the truth that no, God does have us. We need this message. This is really great and helpful and comforting, I'll say.
Thank you, and I agree. I need to review these truths every day. Yeah. I need to, because the world is telling us the opposite. And sometimes our circumstances are trying to convince us of the opposite.
Yeah.
But this is truth. This is from God's word. This is truth.
All right. What's next?
Okay. And the second one I already hit on. So let's just go ahead and do that one.
Sure.
Is God is always working. Jesus said that in John 5:17. God is always working in our lives. He, like I said, he doesn't have to. We have to put one project off so we can finish another. That's not God. You know, he is all powerful, all everything. He can work in all of our lives equally, the same, at the same time, with the same intensity, and it's never diluted. It's always the best for us. And I think one of my favorite books, which I would highly recommend to your listeners, is A Praying Life by Paul E. Miller. And in it, there was a phrase, which I don't have it written down in my notes, so this is very loosely paraphrased here, but about inviting God to work in our lives, how prayer is inviting God to work in our lives. And God wants us. I mean, Jesus talks about prayer. He wants us to ask. He wants us to persevere in asking. He wants us to believe when we're asking and when we're praying. And God is working, and we need to invite God to work in our lives. We need to invite God to work in our kids' lives, in our families' lives, our friends, whatever, and believing that he is and that he will. And there is nothing too hard that he cannot work in that situation and work for good in that situation. But I think especially, you know, we see a difficult situation and we think it'll never change. You know, that person will never change. I will never do this. I will never have another job. I will never do this. I'll never do that. But God is working. Now, I don't know if those things are God's plan for you or not.
Yeah. Thanks for saying that too, because I was thinking, and those things may never change, but God is working, that to your point, but God is working, and, and life may look differently, but that doesn't mean that God isn't working.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's big.
He has a plan that we need to cooperate with. And that part is up to us. If we're going to sit and pout and say, well, I didn't get my way, so now my life isn't worth, you know, isn't worth what I thought it was, or God isn't the God I thought he was. No, those things aren't true. That's just how we're choosing to react, because God is still loving us and caring for us, even though things don't look the way we think they should.
Well, and I think it's an opportunity for our view of God to expand, because I think a lot of times we have an immature view of God, and when crisis comes, we can go a lot of different directions, but a lot of times it causes our view of God, or can, to expand, because he's not reacting the way we've prescribed for him to react, you know, how we make God in our image, as opposed to really realizing God is this great mystery that we can't comprehend. We know certain things about him, but there's so much that we don't know and will never know. And so, yeah, how can we cooperate with the part that we know and continue looking to him? And even, you know, I love this part as you were talking about prayer and the things to pray about. Sometimes in our spiritual walk, I think especially those who have maybe walked with God a lot of years, we might come to a point where we're struggling even for the words, and to sit, to practice some spiritual practices, or you might call them spiritual disciplines, even just to sit in silence in your chair, wherever you meet with God, whatever that space is, and to listen to him, because maybe you don't even have the words right now because you're in a place of hurt, or in a difficult spot where you didn't anticipate being. God will continue to speak to you, with you, but sometimes it takes time to quiet our hearts and hear from him.
I totally agree. And sometimes it takes time for God to speak to us.
Yes, preach.
You know, and because there have been, you know, we were just talking before we actually went on live here.
Yeah.
You know, last year was a crazy year for our family. Wonderful things, some hard things, but a lot of wonderful things, but a very emotional roller coaster and emotionally draining year. And I came after the holidays in January 1, and I thought I was just going to jump right back into the office, so to speak. I had nothing to jump back into. And while I kept my spiritual disciplines, my quiet time in the morning of the Lord, in the Word, praying, I didn't feel like I was getting a lot. But I was in that place to hear when I was ready to hear, when God knew I was ready to hear. Because I just needed a break. I was just spent in every way. I just needed to sit with the Lord and let Him sit with me and let that be okay.
Yeah. And I think sometimes it takes someone else giving us permission to do that, because we've been taught a very prescriptive way of engaging with God. A lot of us that grew up in, you know, in the evangelical church, and there's nothing wrong with that. And it has served us well, many of us, for many years. But sometimes we need someone to give us permission to say, hey, it's okay to explore different spiritual practices that might help us connect better with God for a particular season. And then you'll re-engage with some practices that have worked for during other times in your life. And God is not absent, but we are learning new ways of connecting with Him.
I agree. And then and not to get down on yourself if you don't feel like, oh, God's not speaking to me, there's must be something wrong. Well, no, it's going to, like you say, it's going to look different in different seasons, and just enjoy His presence.
Mm-hmm. And I think that whole aspect, I don't know if you said this on the podcast or before, but just being faithful in the sitting there with God, or in the doing of what He's given you to do, whether that's, you know, diapering your newborn, or trying to potty train your 2-plus-year-old, whatever that may be, or whether that's caring for an aging spouse, you know, being faithful in that. I always, or often, you know, more recently, think of Mother Teresa, who really felt like she wasn't hearing from God, but continued to be faithful in the doing and trusting His presence, even though she didn't have that sense and feel or hearing of His presence.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
All right. Well, what next?
So these are really telling on who I am.
Well, hey, I get that. That's true of all of us, right? I think most of us are going to identify on one level or another with some of these, so it's good.
I hope so. Okay, so the third one is, this is my FOMO. This is my spiritual FOMO. I really felt God tell me, you have not missed anything. Because my spiritual FOMO is...
And give for the people like me, I know what it is, but I'm often acronym... what's the word? Not deficient. I can't figure out acronyms half
illiterate.
The time.
Oh yeah.
Illiterate. Yes. Acronym illiterate.
Yeah. Sure. I'm sorry. I meant to say it. Yes. Fear of missing out.
Oh yeah.
Missing out. And that's a big thing with kids, or I guess even adults now. It's like, especially with social media, you're missing out something and you're fearful of missing out. So you're always on social media to see what's happening. But sometimes I'm fearful of missing like what God wants to show me, or an opportunity He has for me. And God just like assured me, you're not missing anything. When you need to know it, I will speak to you in a way that you can hear. And on the resource, you could do a little study. I've listed 4 Bible people from the Bible and how God spoke to them each very differently, but each in ways that they could hear. And God made it very clear. One of them that I just love is Hagar. If you remember her story very briefly, she was from Abraham and Sarah. She was Sarah's slave. Sarah did not trust and believe God for the promise that she would have a child, that she would have a boy, that he would be the head of a great nation. So she gave her slave, Hagar, to Abraham to impregnate. I mean, it's a very unromantic story. And Hagar does become pregnant, and then Sarah begins to mistreat her because Hagar has done what Sarah cannot do so far, although God promised it, she didn't wait, and that is to become pregnant with Abraham's child. So she mistreats her so that Hagar is running back to Egypt, back to her hometown or homeland, and in the wilderness, in the middle of nowhere, the angel of the Lord finds her and speaks to her wonderful promises, wonderful encouragement, and direction for her life. And, you know, if the angel of the Lord can find Hagar in the middle of nowhere on the road back to Egypt, I think He can find us, and He can speak to us. God will speak to us in a way we can hear what we need when we need to hear it. But we need, again, to be listening and not to be running around in my day, they called it Chicken Little, you know.
Or chicken with its head cut off is what I always think of, like running around like that. But you know what I like? I like that you share, you know, you in the resource, you share the scripture to look up Abraham's journey, Hagar, Moses, and Paul. And what I love about that, and you said it, is that God speaks to each of these, but in a very different way to each of them. And I think it's affirmation for us to realize there's nothing cookie cutter about God, and to be patient, to be in that posture of waiting to receive, because God will speak at the appropriate time, and just to continue doing, you know, what we're doing, but being in that space where we're ready to hear when God is ready to tell us. But we've not, as you said, we have not missed out on anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. Big.
And even in the one in, this is what I was thinking about earlier with Moses in Exodus 3, and just briefly, what talks about in that, in verse 4, it said that when Moses saw the burning bush, when God saw that Moses was coming in to take a closer look, that's when God called him. Mm. And sometimes we just need to slow down and take a closer look at what God's trying to show us. And then God has our attention, and then he'll speak to us. Yeah. But he's not going to, like, well, sometimes he does shut us down and allow us to just be stopped in our tracks. But
sometimes he lets us be stupid.
Exactly. Like you said, nothing cookie cutter.
Yeah, totally. Totally true. Yeah. All right. What else do you talk about?
Again, another of my little insecurities here is God told me, I am not holding out on you. Mm. I am not holding out on you. You know, we can look at other people having success or having this or having that, and feel like, well, why God? You know?
When's it going to be my turn, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And a verse that I have memorized for a long time, and then he brought it back to my mind, is Psalm 84:11. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Since I am a follower of Christ, since I am God's child, I walk uprightly. Jesus has made me upright before God. And so I am walking uprightly before God. And so if it is good for me, I will have it. When it is good for me, I will have it. And until then, it's not good for me. And I just need to quit, you know, put those blinders on and stay focused on what God has for me, which is so much, and quit worrying about what everybody else has going on. Because if it's good, I'll have it. And if it's not, then God is always looking out for my best.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it goes back again to our view of God, and there's so much mysterious there, and we don't know his ways. I mean, we read that in the Psalms, his ways are higher than our ways, and our ways are not his ways. I mean, that's definitely a point that's driven home to us, and yet, you know, all we have are our human eyes to look through things, and sometimes it can be that a real struggle to not feel like, okay, where's God, and he's got to be holding out on me because, you know, Sally Sue down the road from here, he's doing all kinds of things there. Mm-hmm. and to not realize again that we're, you know what, I'm wired differently than Sally Sue. God has a different plan for me than he does for her. God, you know, there's so much that we do not know and may never know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the other piece. And that's okay. We've got to learn to be okay with that.
I agree.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think about how much of our view of God is formed by our American experience.
Oh, I think it's huge.
Yeah, and what we don't even know what we don't know.
And then and then overlay our American Christian experience, depending on how we were raised. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And just to realize, you know, we don't know what we don't know. We don't know everything. We don't have a clue. What we know is just minutia.
Yeah.
And to trust God for everything. Yeah,
for the rest. For all the rest, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Hey, what's number five?
Okay, so this one is a little bit longer. I really felt God telling me, again, I have given you all you need. Lean in, listen. It will come as you need it, you know, and then, you know, because I, you know, I'm one of those people, I get up in the morning and I start at 100 miles per hour. And by 8 o'clock at night, I'm at 0 miles per hour. But I like to go fast, you know, and I'm like, okay, God, let's get this day going. Let's get this thing going, whatever it is. And God is trying to teach me all through my life, slow down, listen to me, stay in step with me. Don't run ahead of me. Don't think you have it figured out, but I will speak to you. you will have it what you need. In 2 Peter 1:3, it says that God has everything, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And so he will give me what I need when I need it. And you know what, you know, Anita, as you know, we'll get off of this program and we'll think, oh, I should have said that. You know, I forgot to mention that. No, God will bring it to mind when I need it. And if I didn't, then, you know, that doesn't say we don't need to study and prepare and study the word under our, you know, wise pastors and Bible study teachers and on our own and whatnot. But just to know that God will give us what we need when we need it. And
which equally means he will give everyone listening what they need when they need it. And I think it's always interesting. God often will translate to someone's ears something I don't remember saying.
Yeah.
You know, right?
Yeah. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And again, I think that it's, you know, it's my personality is I just want to go fast for the Lord. And sometimes he said, no, we're just going to walk a little slower for a while, you know, and that's okay.
Yeah, that's good for us. And I do think that's a piece of our American culture and in the church. I think the church busies us up just as much as our culture does. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not saying that they're not good reasons, et cetera, but I think this is a big one that we have to pay attention to and, you know, slowing down. It's like we looked at the Ten Commandments and all of the American church especially decided one of them wasn't really needed. We don't need that Sabbath thing. We don't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know. I do think I've always said this. I know it's not very popular with church personnel, but I really think Sunday evening would better be spent at home as a family, playing a game, watching a movie, eating dinner together, just be a family together before you start the week.
I think a lot of churches have figured that out.
I hope so.
I think, good. Oh yeah. I mean, that I can't even tell you when I've been to church on a Sunday night. It's been a years. And I think, and I've talked to this millennial generation, I've talked to a lot who actually are part of house churches now too, which is a growing movement who do life very differently than the traditional church. And I think that they really have this down much more than their baby boomer parents. I'll just say that.
Wow, I feel so old all of a sudden.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's true. No. All right, bring it home. What's the last one on your list?
Last one is profound. God told me, enjoy today. Mm. Enjoy today. God has given me so many good things in my life. And enjoy it. Just, you know, okay, so there is it's a photographic technique, and I can't explain it, but there's one show on DIY, it's called West End Salvage, and somehow they focus in on the building and blur everything else in the background. It almost looks like toys, but the building is crisp and the background is way, way, way fuzzy. And when I am with my grandson, when I have him in my arms and I am practicing living in the moment, which is something I'm trying to do, that happens in my mind. He becomes just magnified, super, super crisp, super right there, and everything else in the background, even if it's my other kids. But he is all I see, and everything else is blurred, not just fuzzy, but blurred. Mm. And if we can just, like, wherever you are, if you are at your kitchen table, just look at that cup of coffee and just see it for the beauty it is, for the thankful that you have it, or whatever God has put in front of you, what is in your life, just take a moment, focus on it, and be thankful for it, and enjoy that you are experiencing it. Enjoy that you have it. We're getting ready to come into the fall season. There will be beauty everywhere. Mm. And just to take time to really notice what God has blessed you with.
I love that. And I'll interject. I have a dear friend who, I don't know when this was, maybe a year ago, but would regularly sit out on her back step, and God was really speaking to her in a variety of ways in a difficult season. But she said, I worked really hard to live in the present, and I would focus on a little droplet of water on a ornamental grass in the backyard, and I would think of the, you know, I don't even know because I'm not a scientist, whether it's hundreds or thousands or millions of molecules that are in just that water drop, which points to the glory and greatness of God. So I love that, being present. I like that visual that you gave of everything else blurring out so that we can focus on the present, because I think that's something that many maybe even most of us struggle deeply with.
I do. We're always thinking of that next thing. You know, what are we going to do after this, after we get done talking to Anita? What are we going to make for dinner? What are we going to, what, all the things we have to do. Just to, you know, block that out and focus.
And enjoy the present. Enjoy. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Enjoy today. I know some of you who are thinking, I've got a couple of dreadful things going on today. I actually have but I'm thinking if someone listening has a courthouse appointment and a divorce they're going through is going to be final. Mm-hmm. And they're thinking, mm-hmm, I can't exactly enjoy today. You know, I just want to say to them that there will be those moments, but even being present in those moments, look for the ways that God is moving and speaking and is with you even in those difficult times. And then when you come to that space where you are able to enjoy, to do that and to do it with all your heart, not just half-heartedly, right, because there's nothing wrong with enjoying. I'm a very focused kind of accomplishment-oriented, efficiency-oriented person. And so I often wear a bracelet, actually almost every day, that says, remember to play. Because I could push play right out of my life. And that's not right, because it's actually an important part. It is a piece of our life with God. It's not all work and being efficient and difficulty and struggling through what he has in front of us now. You know, it's not all that. There is this piece called enjoyment. And when we're able to focus in on the presence, it can help us. I appreciate that piece that you raised that one a lot. I think that's good.
Thanks. Yeah, I think, yeah. And I can be like that too. And it's helped, you know, we're, like I said, we're empty nesters, but we crazy people. We got a puppy, you know, what were we thinking? But, you know, that type of thing, you have to take that dog out. You have to play with that puppy or else he will, or she will make your life crazy because she has too much energy.
Yeah.
You know?
And she'll chew up half your house if you don't.
Exactly. During the day, and that incorporates play. So yeah, it is really, because God has given us these things in life to enjoy, and when they come along, it's okay. Yeah,
yeah.
Take a break. Yeah.
Well, that's an encouraging note. I think that's an encouraging note to wrap up our time on. I love that. And so today's podcast is a little bit different. It's more kind of walking our way through some really excellent thoughts. You know, what does God want us to know and live out right now? And you know, you heard Brenda point us to a variety of scriptures, and you know, you can spend days kind of sitting with some of the thoughts that she's brought up here today. You can find out more at brendagarrison.com, and again at anitalustria.com. I'll have links to all of this as well, and I hope you'll go there. And Brenda, thanks for slowing down, for letting God speak, and for being here with us today on Faith Conversations. Really appreciate it.
Oh, I love being with you. Thank you so much.
And I'll just close by saying the typical. I'm Anita Lustria, and this is Faith Conversations.